In a viral cartoon that once circulated online, Xi Jinping's decades-long ascent through China's government ranks was contrasted with Barack Obama's campaign finance-driven path to power. The implicit message was provocative. Could China's meritocratic selection of leaders produce better governance than Western democracy? This question lies at the heart of Daniel Bell's analysis of what he calls the China model, a political system that combines democracy at the local level, experimentation in the middle, and meritocracy at the top. As Western democracies struggle with polarization and governance challenges, while China continues its remarkable economic rise, we're forced to reconsider our fundamental assumptions about legitimate political systems. What if electoral democracy, despite its near-sacred status in Western discourse, contains fundamental flaws that alternative systems might better address? Democracy's first fundamental weakness is what Bell calls the tyranny of the majority, where uninformed voters make collectively poor decisions. Unlike ancient Athenians with slaves handling daily work, modern citizens lack both time and motivation to develop political competence. In large democracies, individual votes have negligible impact, making political ignorance rational. As Jason Brennan notes, when you realize your vote makes no difference, you probably decide not to bother acquiring political knowledge. Voters exhibit cognitive biases documented by Kahneman. While organizations can mitigate these errors through deliberation, voting booths maximize irrational decision-making by isolating individuals without feedback. This explains why most Americans cannot identify their state senators and hold false beliefs about economics and politics. The second flaw is the tyranny of the minority, where wealthy interests capture democratic processes. America's founders created checks against political tyranny, but didn't anticipate how industrial capitalism would create wealth concentrations that could overpower majorities on key issues. Since 1979, America's economic landscape has shifted dramatically. The top 1% has received a disproportionate share of gains, capturing over 53% between 2001 to 2006. While technology contributes to inequality, America's wealth gap has grown faster than other affluent democracies due to policy changes favoring the wealthy, tax code revisions, financial deregulation, and weakened labor protections. Electoral democracy provides what Bell calls an illusion of control through periodic voting. However, real policymaking occurs between elections, when business interests exert influence through lobbying, campaign contributions, and media control, creating a self-reinforcing cycle where economic and political inequality reinforce each other. Bell identifies a third flaw, the tyranny of the voting community. Well-functioning democracies exclude those beyond political boundaries from representation, though government policies affect non-voters like future generations and foreigners. Democratization often strengthens national identity, potentially increasing tensions with neighbors. In comparing Hong Kong and Singapore, foreign domestic workers have better rights in non-democratic Hong Kong, partly because leaders aren't chosen through direct voting and can act more on principles of justice. Electoral democracies struggle with long-term challenges like climate change that require decades-long planning. Voters typically favor immediate benefits and reject politicians who impose short-term sacrifices for future gain. Despite China's poor environmental history, it shows promise in addressing climate change through energy efficiency, green technology investments, high-speed rail, electric vehicles, carbon markets, and environmental performance metrics for officials. The Communist Party's stability may make it more likely to honor climate commitments than democracies where changing administrations can abandon previous pledges. The fourth flaw is the tyranny of competitive individualists, a tension between democratic processes and social cohesion. Electoral democracy often intensifies conflict through negative campaigning and divisive tactics. Research shows most people value harmony and community well-being, but elections undermine these by incentivizing the demonization of opponents. The secret ballot, while protecting voters from coercion, removes social accountability. This anonymity, combined with winner-take-all systems, can fragment communities. The internet and social media have worsened this by creating echo chambers and enabling inflammatory political speech. China's model offers an alternative, implementing a hybrid system of local democracy with centralized authority. Village-level elections occur without party politics, while at the central level, elite deliberation among trained officials aims for long-term planning and stability. Despite ethical concerns about China's suppression of competing parties, surveys suggest Chinese society maintains greater social harmony than large democracies like India and the United States, where partisan division has reached historic levels. If meritocracy offers advantages over democracy, how should we select good leaders? Bell traces this concept from ancient China through Western thought to modern governance. China's examination system, selecting officials through competitive testing for over 13 centuries, represents its greatest contribution to meritocratic governance. Unlike business with its clear profit motive, government's purpose is complex. Political leaders must balance multiple goals while handling criticism. They need different qualities than business leaders: cooperation and strategic ambiguity rather than confrontation. In today's complex world, intellectual abilities matter more than physical prowess for leadership. Singapore exemplifies this approach, with Lee Kuan Yew prioritizing near geniuses and institutionalizing rigorous recruitment. Though intellectual ability matters, social skills may be even more crucial. Modern meritocratic systems typically incorporate multiple assessment methods: examinations, interviews, simulations, and performance reviews. Singapore's system offers a contrasting approach. While it holds elections, these operate under constraints, ensuring the People's Action Party's continued rule. The system identifies talent early in schools, testing students for intellectual ability, integrity, and leadership. Top performers receive government scholarships to prestigious universities and return to join the administrative service, creating leaders with expertise capable of long-term planning. China's governance operates on three tiers: democracy at the bottom, experimentation in the middle, and meritocracy at the top. Village self-governance emerged in the 1980s with elected committees, secret ballots, and direct voting, improving local governance where implemented effectively. The middle tier serves as a policy laboratory, allowing China to test market reforms in specific regions before national rollout. This approach contains failures while enabling successful innovations to scale. At the top, China's civil service has evolved into a meritocratic system, beginning with competitive national examinations. Officials undergo decades of performance assessment through public opinion, peer reviews, and achievement evaluation. Top leaders typically accumulate 20 to 30 years of governance experience before reaching national positions. Communist Party cadres must serve in poor rural communities, creating direct accountability to disadvantaged populations, something electoral democracies, often constrained by campaign finance dependencies, cannot mandate. The China model resists easy export, being a unique hybrid of village elections from self-governance traditions, Communist Party experimentation, and political meritocracy rooted in Chinese culture. Bell envisions democracies and meritocracies coexisting and learning from each other. Each would acknowledge its flaws while competing to better serve citizens. Democracies would incorporate meritocratic elements. Meritocracies would adopt democratic practices. Despite different foundations, both systems would recognize each other's moral legitimacy, cooperating on shared concerns while respecting political diversity. Our key challenge isn't determining a universally superior system, but enabling different political models to learn from each other's strengths while addressing weaknesses. The future may lie not in either system's triumph, but in thoughtful hybridization serving human flourishing across diverse cultural contexts.